Ever wonder how a Comic-Con comes together? Here are two guys that know, because it's what they do every day. It's the Con Men Podcast.
Did that thing turn on?
It turned on, Greg. We're on. We're rolling.
It is the Con Men Podcast. It's been a little while. Greg Adams here and Puff over there. It's been since...
a week.
We
took a week off.
Yeah, we took a week off for the holidays.
Well, technically for Christmas, we only did a half a show.
I was going to say, so it feels like it's been quite a while, even though it really hasn't been. But we're still alive, in case anyone is curious. We are a podcast about doing a Comic-Con. We help put together GeekedCon in Shreveport, Louisiana. We are going into our sixth year this August. You can find ticket info. Well, actually, no, there's no ticket info yet, but when ticket info is available, it'll be at geekcon.com. I'm getting so ahead of myself.
Did we do something that I missed out on?
No, I've got so much on my desk right now as far as like paperwork and emails that I need to follow up on and so much stuff going on. This is basically, we're getting into the meat of why this podcast should be interesting. Because we're getting into the parts for us where things are getting the busiest. And we have this outlet where we can kind of talk about what we're going through on a daily basis.
Yep.
I mean, this could actually serve, even if nobody ever listens to this, this is kind of like our audio diary of what we're going through.
Yeah. It's a pain in the ass, but it's also rewarding. I got to put that in there. It is rewarding. It just, when you're doing it and people are beating you, how come this isn't done? How come you haven't done this yet? It's a pain in the ass.
Was that an impersonation of me?
No.
Right. Okay. All right. I see where we stand today. But we do work on a Comic-Con pretty much every day. And so what we do is this little podcast where we try to pull the curtain back, show you a little bit about what we go through, how these things come together. And then we talk about just some geeky stuff in the middle because you have to be a geek to do this, right?
Well, you don't have to be, but it certainly helps and makes it more fun.
Well, I mean, to be successful at this, to keep one above. Look, for me, I always said that 5 years was kind of like the line. Like, if we could get this to 5 years, I would consider it to be successful. If you can stay in business for 5 years, and we've done that, so I'd consider us successful, right?
Yeah, and we haven't really had like just a year that crapped the bed either. It's all been good stuff.
Yeah, so I would consider us successful, at least in that portion of it. Don't knock on fake wood and pretend like it's real wood.
It's real wood.
It is not. It's a gopher-shaped broadcast table that's made of particle board.
It's particle board is wood, damn it.
It's mostly glue. Okay, we're getting way off track. So what we were going to do today is, because we're elbow deep in some of this stuff, we try to talk about a topic that if you are considering putting a Comic-Con together, if you work in one currently, these are things that you are already aware of and are probably dealing with, and so maybe it's interesting to hear someone else talk about what you deal with. If you're thinking about putting one together, these are things you're going to need to be worried about. And if you're just a fan of Comic-Cons in general, these are the things that go on behind the scenes to help you enjoy a weekend of fun pop culture goodness.
Yeah, for your 3 days of fun, it takes us literally 11 and a half months to put it all together.
Well, yeah, 11 and a half months and then half a month of pure execution.
Yeah, it literally takes 11 and a half months to put the pieces in place and then 6 months of getting the train rolling down the tracks into the finish line.
Yeah, it is a beast, and that's why we are doing this. So because we're literally in the middle of doing this, we're taking time away from this project to record this podcast. We were going to talk about sponsors today. Anybody who knows us personally, who listens to this podcast, has probably seen our personal social media feeds today, where we are literally talking about this as on the day we're recording this.
By the way, if you would like to be a sponsor at GeekCon, please visit geekcon.com and click the sponsorship tab at the very top.
Or you can email geekedcon@gmail.com. We'll be able to get you there.
Yeah.
If you can get in contact with us in any way through our Facebook page, our Instagram, our Twitter, if you can reach us, we can help you become a sponsor of GeekCon.
Yep. So just putting that out there, if you happen to have a little cash laying around and want to help out some good old boys put together a fun event, You can do that, geekcon.com.
Or if you want to get your brand in front of over 10,000 people in Shreveport, Louisiana this August, we can accommodate that as well.
Geekcon.com. I feel like I'm Alex Jones. Infowars.com.
Right, next thing you know, our website's going to be selling brain pills. Okay, so the things that I laid out talking about sponsors, these may not be exactly what we are doing, but I'm thinking of general concepts because I've been involved in putting together a different Comic-Con as well, and so it was a very different conversation when it came to sponsors then than what we deal with now. And a little bit of that has to do with framework, but a lot of it also has to do with the way in which these shows operate. So the first thing you need to do when you're thinking about your sponsors is you need to figure out what do you need from them.
Yeah.
What do you need from a sponsor?
Because sponsors aren't just a cash check that you go pick up and cash. A lot of times it's a partnership where you help both, where help goes both ways.
Right. So if you're in a position where you just need cash from your sponsors, then you can already identify that right away. Mm. We just need money. We need money to make this work. So we need to go find sponsors who will be able to open their wallet, give us money, but not just give you money. It's not a donation. That's maybe where we should have started with this to begin with. There's a lot of people who are putting together Comic-Cons or want to put together Comic-Cons who have no concept of what a sponsor should get when they decide to sponsor an event. So part of what you need from them, you need to know what you need from them so you can figure out what you're going to give them. If you need a big cash infusion, if you need a lot of money from somebody, you need to be prepared to name your event after that person.
Yeah.
If Puff's Chevy is going to be your sponsor who's going to cut you a gigantic five-figure check, then you need to be prepared to have, if it's Bob's Comic Show and Puff's Chevy is going to be your title sponsor, you need to be prepared to put Puff's Chevy on everything you do. Everything you print, everything you do radio commercial-wise, every billboard you make, everything you do, your tickets, your wristbands, everything, needs to have that title sponsor on it.
Especially when you're starting out, because if you make Bob Chevy or whatever angry, all of a sudden that money's not going to be there next year.
Yeah. And not just that, but any potential sponsor who sees how your sponsors are treated will know that moving forward. And this could probably be thrown in later, but just because it came on the top of my mind right now as we're talking about this, save some examples. Mm. So if you do like a program, if you do a ticket, if you do wristbands, if you do VIP badges, save some of those examples so next year if Puff Chevy decides they're not going to be your title sponsor, but you still need that cash infusion, you want to be able to take everything that you did with their logo on it and get in front of Dusty's Tacos and say, here's what we did last year for Puff Chevy, and if you want to get exactly what they did, here's what it will cost this year, and we'll give you all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, we talk about this a lot. We've talked about this with guests and agents and blah, blah, blah. But if you take care of people and over-deliver, more people will be willing to work with you. So don't try to cut corners. I know sometimes it's easy. Well, if I put this money somewhere else, it seems like a good idea at the time, but it always comes back and bites you in the ass. If you over-deliver and take care of your people will take care of you and will say, hey, you know, my buddy owns blah, blah's audio shop or whatever, they should get involved in this. And then you start spreading through the community like a good type of wildfire, not the bad kind that destroys and levels
an entire continent.
Yeah.
We've got friends in Australia, by the way. I talked to Cosplay Chris, GeekCon guest from Australia. Spoke with him last night, actually. He is unaffected right now by the wildfires in Australia, the brush fire. But it is as bad as it sounds like it is. So keep those folks in your thoughts. And if you do see an opportunity, there are some good places to make donations. Steve Irwin's family is doing incredible work. Mm. I just want to throw that out. Sorry, sidetracked, but you said fire, and I literally just talked to Chris last night. So that kind of was fresh in my mind.
And just loop it back around to keeping good relationships open. That right there is a great example. A guy who we've had to town, what, once, twice, maybe?
Twice. Cosplay Chris has been to the show twice.
But Cosplay Chris, not exactly like family friends, but we took good care of him. He's a friend of ours, and we stay in contact with him,
yeah.
even unrelated to the show.
Right, yeah. Like, and that's part of, you know, through this whole thing, your goal is to create relationships and partnerships, not just, you know, sponsorships. And sometimes these are just business dealings. You don't actually care to know this person. They don't care to know you. But in some cases, you do get to actually know these people, and it makes this stuff easier if you're working with people that you know and trust.
Yep.
One of the other things that you need to consider when you're saying, what do we need from these sponsors, like you had touched on earlier about partnerships, sometimes there's no money exchanging hands. Sometimes if you realize, hey, we're bringing a bunch of celebrities to town and we need to find some place for them to stay, if you don't have the budget right now, now if you've already factored in your budget and said, we're going to get this sponsor to give us cash and we're going to give them all of this and we're going to use that cash to get the hotel rooms, cool. But sometimes you're able to find a partner who is I don't want to throw out names of particular hotels or anything because I don't want anybody chasing them down thinking that those are the place to go. But if you find a hotel and they're willing to give you a block of rooms for your celebrities in exchange for being your hotel sponsor, those are the kind of sponsorships that you want to look for, not just with maybe hotels, but food, travel. I'm trying to think of some of the other things.
There's a lot of hidden costs because you have to pay these people, you know, which is obvious, but you also have to feed them. There's transportation
yep.
costs.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, keeping them in town for 3, 4, or 5 days, however long your event happens to be. All that stuff adds up pretty quickly. So if you got a dozen people coming to town and you have to feed them, take them places, you know, give them a place to stay, the more you can work out a partnership to cover some, if not all, of those costs is tremendous.
It will help you out in the long run, and it allows you to reinvest some of that money. If you, I say it every single time we talk about this. If you're considering doing one of these, make a budget. Make a spreadsheet, put it all down on paper, and you have to stick to that. And in some cases, if you do have a line there for hotels, for airfare, for ground travel, for food, and you find a sponsor who says, hey, I'm going to take care of your ground transportation in exchange for this, you can go back to that budget. You can take that budget line of whatever that number is, and you can now roll that into another place where you're not comfortable.
Like advertising, or if you're a little short on, let's say you would like another guest.
Yeah,
you could roll it over to another guest. You can use those freed up funds wherever you need them, whether it's getting your event out, whether it's printing up specialty T-shirts, whatever the case may be.
Now, there is a warning here, too, though. You have to make sure they're good partners because you have to make sure that you either know this person or you have something ironclad in place for this relationship. For example, if you did come to an agreement with a hotel partner and you get a week out from the show and that hotel partner has not given you the information on the rooms, you don't have confirmation numbers, you don't have any of the important stuff, if red flags start to come up a week out from the show with your hotel partner, you could be in trouble because if you get to the night that you have celebrities flying into town and suddenly you don't have a spot to put them, that's the reason that I always say on that budget, too, that you need a slush fund towards the event. You can't try to pay for things with ticket sales. You can't overextend and hope that money comes in the door on the first day of the show to cover things after the show. Because if you get into that situation, if it's Thursday night and your show starts on Friday, you've got guests flying into town, suddenly your Thursday night lodging is gone, you've got to take care of that right away.
Yeah.
And if you don't have those funds still available to take care of that, if you're waiting on tomorrow's ticket sales to pay that bill, you're going to be out to dry.
Just while we're on this subject, this is probably a whole other subject for a whole other time. Cash on hand is key because
yep.
things will occur during your event, whether it's a partnership breakdown, miscommunication, an emergency situation, something will happen where you will be needing money to make a decision and a purchase quickly.
Sometimes things are just over budget.
Yeah.
You can budget all you want. You can be as meticulous as I am with all of these spreadsheets. I've got about 19 running right now. And even on those, sometimes things come in over budget. And if you don't have the money to cover that over budget expense, you don't get done whatever you were looking to get done. And I don't know how many horror stories we've seen. There was just one this past week. I don't want to mention the show. I can probably mention the state, and enough people know exactly what's going on, but it was in Tennessee. There was a show that was a absolute disaster. And there have been a couple of these at epic proportions over the last year where shows get to the day of the show. And these are big shows in big cities. And it's not even actually the day of the show. It's probably about 2 or 3 weeks out from the show. You just start seeing guests post on social media. Hey, sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it due to unforeseen circumstances. I wish I could see you all this weekend, but I'm not going to be there. I'll catch you next time. When you see a show that has like 8 of those in a week, and then suddenly the guest list that was like 30 people is now down to 4, there's trouble ahead. And this weekend, or 2 weekends ago, however long it was now, and it really depends on when you're listening to this, I guess, this show in Tennessee had people show up, vendors show up to unload, and there's no staff from the show. There's nobody there. Like, it's just the venue people, and they really don't know what's going on. And they weren't sure if people were going to be there to take tickets the next day. They didn't really know what was happening with the show at all. It all fell apart at the last minute. Those type of things happen, and the number one leading cause for that to happen is lack of funds.
Lack of funds and lack of attention. You got to keep your finger on the pulse. And if you see that there's a gushing wound somewhere, you got to have the money to fill that wound, or else everything falls apart around it.
And we'll double back real quick to that good partnership. Because if you have good partners around you, when those things start to fall apart, if people are into what you do, which is ultimately the key that I wanted to get to here, I'll say the phrase in a second. But if you have the right partners around you, not just as sponsors, but on your team, the people who are helping you put this together, if you have the good partners, when those things go south, they will help. Which ultimately comes down to the main point that I look for when it comes to sponsors. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And if you are out to do this type of event strictly to cash a check at the end, if you read an article from 6 years ago that was talking about Comic-Cons are just people leaving with garbage bags full of $20 bills, if that's your goal, this is not the industry for you. This is not the place to be. Like, we opened this show talking about it. This works because we're geeks.
Authenticity is king in this sort of business. People can tell when it's like, well, they've done other shows and they just try to apply a different concept to this. Yeah, people know when it's by the way it's structured, by the way it looks, by the way it feels, by the way it's marketed. People can tell whether you're into it or not.
But not just from like a guest, ticket buyer, attendee type standpoint, from your sponsors too.
Oh yeah.
Like, your sponsors will be able to tell if you just show up with your hand out and you don't have a plan for, hey, this is a great partnership because we're going to be able to do this for you. That's how you need to approach this. You need to identify the partners that have something that you can benefit from, but that you bring something to as well. So don't go to a partner that really doesn't apply to what you do in any way. Like, I'm just trying to pluck something out of, I'm looking around the room for something to help here. An assisted living facility. I make the argument that every single business can be involved in this type of event in one way or another. But that's a sliding scale. So an assisted living facility, could they be a part of this? Yeah, I can make an argument for why they should be a part of it. But should you approach them with a $50,000 sponsorship opportunity? No. I don't think San Diego Comic-Con International probably couldn't offer $50,000 in value to an assisted living care facility.
No, probably not.
I mean, that's just, unfortunately, could an assisted living facility benefit from having a booth there? Absolutely, because that's real life.
It's Golden Age Comic Night.
No, but I mean, from this standpoint, and this is why it sticks out thinking about it, that's a real life scenario that real people have to deal with, whether they're geeks or not. And so having a booth for that kind of industry at an event is brilliant, because that reaches people on an emotional level. That's real life. We're all going to have to deal with that at some point. So there's a reason for those people to be involved in this. Should they be the title sponsor? Should they be presenting the event? No. Should they be involved in some way? Yes. So when I say find a partner that matches, find somebody who can benefit from what you have to offer as well, especially if you're going to approach them in a large way. I'm trying to think, did we miss anything on sponsors?
No, I think we pretty much covered it.
All right, cool. Because the second thing we got to talk about today is something that I wish we would have done a show last week instead of taking the holiday stuff off. Because last week, well, crap. Now, was it last week? What's the day today?
January 7th.
That's when we're recording this. So whenever you're listening to this, we should have done this before the end of the year. But we couldn't have because we had the voting out there. So what we did is we asked the fans of GeekedCon to name their guests of the decade. Now, to set this up, it's a little unfair. GeekedCon started in 2015. So the event was only around for half the decade. But during half the decade, we were able to bring over 75 celebrities into Shreveport. So there were plenty of guests to choose from. And actually, if you take into account the comic book artists and comic book writers, we were closer to like 100.
Yeah, it's been, we had a lot of people.
We've had a lot of people. And we did include some comic book artists and writers. So we put together a list internally. We had a little vote to figure out who should be on this on the voting list, because with almost 100 people or over 100 people, there's no way that we were going to ask people to cast votes and have to read through all of that. So we whittled it down to 25. And of those 25, we asked the fans to cast their votes and tell us who their favorite guests of the decade were. I think you've looked at this list. Did you look? You looked over this list,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Because I've got it in front of me right now. And by the way, I think you can find it at geekcon.com.
You absolutely can.
So if you want to look up this list for yourself, you can do that. Or you can just sit back and we'll tell you who they are. We don't want to take, there's 10 of them, so let's not take a ton of time. But if you have something you want to say about one of these guests, Puff, just jump in, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Number 10 on the list, Chris Sarandon. Yeah. He was at GeekCon 2018. Chris Sarandon, of course, best known as the voice of Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas, as well as
being a huge West Virginia football fan.
I don't think that's what he's known for.
Well,
I think that's what you remember him for.
Well, we had an argument about how West Virginia sucks, but
okay. Also known as Prince Humperdinck from The Princess Bride, Jerry Dandridge from Fright Night. He was also in Child's Play,
et cetera.
Done a ton of stuff. He got 3.3% of the votes from the fans. Number 9, I'm sure you'll have something to say about him, George Perez. He was at GeekCon 2016, got 3.38% of the vote, just a few votes ahead of Chris Sarandon.
He deserves more. He's a wonderful human being who's going through some terrible health issues at the moment. So much love to George Perez. Great guy.
Love George Perez. Wake up every day and walk past the Deadpool Infinity Gauntlet cover he drew for me. So I think about George Perez on pretty much a daily basis at this point.
Yeah, me too. Right outside my room, I have the big Joker portrait he did for me, which is awesome.
Number 8 on the list, Billy West with 3.5% of the vote. He was at GeekCon 2017.
Also should be higher on the list because not only has he voiced all your favorite characters, he's the creator of Hawaiian Punch.
Okay.
Were you not at the panel?
No, I was, but that's a very...
Actually, it was Tahitian Punch, but that's a whole other story.
Known as a ton of the voices from Futurama, Ren and Stimpy, Bugs Bunny from Space Jam. The guy is an absolute delight. I get to hear in my radio side of things. I did an interview with him that year, and it's one of my favorite interviews of all time. I've interviewed hundreds of people in my career. That was one of the top 5 that I've ever had.
Agreed. You know how much I hate doing panels. Hate them. Occasionally I have to do them just because, you know, no one else is available. But of all the ones I've done, I completely forgot there was like, you know, 500 people staring at me. And I was just having a conversation with Billy West on stage, and it was awesome. He told some great stories. That was the most fun I've ever had with a microphone in front of my face.
That was one of the weird interviews too, because I would just hesitate. Usually I'm one of those guys doing an interview where I'm thinking of the question ahead of time and trying to listen to tie the question together kind of thing.
Yeah.
But with him, he would stop talking, and it would be the time for me to ask the next question. I would just be sitting there like, I'm just listening to Billy West. He can just say whatever he wants right now.
Yeah.
All right, number 7 on the list. We're going over the greatest GeekCon guests of the decade. Number 7 was Mick Foley. He had 3.62% of the vote. He was a GeekCon 2018.
Also an extremely nice human being. Very tired, but extremely nice.
He is very tired, and we had him, due to unfortunate circumstances, he was traveling more than normal when he came to our event. He had a funeral to attend that week, so traveling quite a bit.
And Brian Knobs wouldn't let him sleep, which is a whole nother story. Yep. So, yeah, Mick was exhausted the weekend he was here. Poor fella.
Number six on the list is Marvel comic artist Roland Paris, 5.6% of the vote. He's been to Geek Cons in 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019.
I just say he's been here every year because even the 1 year he didn't attend, he was there in spirit because he just showed up. So, I mean, even though he wasn't a guest, he was technically in our hearts and minds. And so I'm sure I don't know what the plan is for this year. But if I were a betting man, he'll either have a table or will be here wandering around on his own again because he's like family. He's like our little brother older brother.
So Roland is great because not only does he do excellent work, he is a Louisiana native. So he is our local fan favorite, basically. Again, most of that's due to the work, though. So I don't want to like cheat him on this. He does incredible work. So his sketch covers are on par with pretty much anybody else.
Yeah.
And you can have a guy who is local, who is friendly, who's part of the family, all you want, but if they're not putting out good work, it doesn't matter.
Oh, Roland is awesome, and he's not one of those guys that are gonna bend you over a barrel for a sketch like some people. So not only is it great work, but
it's affordable.
It's a reasonably priced, affordable product. So mad ups to Roland.
Yep.
Hopefully, hopefully next time I'm in New Orleans, I run into him on Bourbon Street again.
lots of stories that there's going to have to be a point where we can't do that yet. There will be a point where we can just tell literally all the stories.
Well,
but we're not there yet.
There's no story for Roland. I just happened to pass him on Bourbon Street at like 3 in the morning.
I thought there was a story attached to it.
No,
Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
No. We just bumped into each other while wandering around. Okay. Now, there is another Bourbon Street story that we will not tell here, but Roland Paris was not involved in that one.
But it was the same night? Is that maybe what I'm doing?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Number five on the list, Lou Ferrigno. He was headliner for GeekCon 2017. He got 7.9% of the vote. Number five on the list, top five.
Hey, he wrestled a bear twice. That's all right in my book.
That is a shoot fight. That was a legit story. He's great at telling those stories too. It's funny to go through some of these pictures that we have, on the listings online, like going back to the McFoley picture, you're standing next to McFoley in the picture, and looking at the Lou Ferrigno picture, it actually reminds me how personable he was, when people were getting pictures with him. We got a shot of him and a kid, and Lou Ferrigno looks like he's literally enjoying life at this moment. And that's what I love these type of things where there's a little moment of joy, clearly for this kid's dad. The kid is kind of, he doesn't necessarily know who Lou Ferrigno is. Was this kid like four I'm looking at right here?
Yeah, four or five,
like he probably doesn't get it. But Lou and the dad, they're totally loving life at this moment. Number four on the list, kind of shocked, only at number four. This is where things get a little like, how does this happen? But it's up to the voting of the people. So the fans decided that number four on the top 10 GeekCon guests of the decade, Cassandra Peterson, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, 9.8% of the vote. She was the headliner in GeekCon 2016.
Fun fact, she's the only guest that I had not one word with.
Really?
Never even saw her.
I may have talked to her more than... I should sit down and figure that out. Maybe that'll be on a future episode. Who I talk to the most as a guest.
She's literally the only person that's ever been to GeekCon where I didn't at least, two people. I forgot about Tara Reid, but that's
so did a lot of people.
She's like the only guest that's ever come through that I didn't get to say, hi, how are you?
So I did her panel.
Mm-hmm.
I've only done a couple of the panels. So I did her panel, and we talked after the panel. Like before that, and this is, there are little intricacies about each guest. Before the panel, didn't say a word to her more than just an introduction. Then after the panel, it was almost constant. It was either being called over there or having her pull me off to the side backstage. Like, always from that point on, there was conversation.
Well, you did name her book.
That I'm still waiting on the royalty check.
Yeah, you'll probably keep waiting.
But, I will continue to wait. We do have video evidence, though, so if this ever does need to go to court, we'll, you know, it won't. I'm kidding. It's a total joke. Number three on the list, greatest, not greatest, top 10 GeekCon guests of the decade. Number three, LeVar Burton. GeekCon 2019, 11% of the vote.
He served me a plate of barbecue. LeVar's all right in my book. I don't know why you're laughing at that. He served all of us. It wasn't just me, but like we walked back to the little room. Somebody brought some barbecue because LeVar wanted barbecue. And like, of course, they ordered a ton, or they gave LeVar a ton. And he was like house mom, like me, Trish Stratus, Kevin Nash, and Michael Rooker all walked back there, and LeVar serving all of his plates.
That is why I laugh, because you can tell that story every single podcast as long as we do this. I will laugh every time, because I just, in my mind, envision LeVar Burton making sure everyone's got a plate.
Yeah.
Making sure everyone's fed.
Like, literally, the only thing that was missing is, like, the mom apron. Like, you know, the flowered mom apron.
My favorite little LeVar... I didn't have a lot of interaction. See, we can have exact opposites here. Cassandra, I had a lot of interaction with. LeVar, not a lot of interaction with. But he borrowed my hockey jersey that weekend. Because it was cold.
Yeah.
We're August in Louisiana. It's 110 degrees out with 98% humidity every time we do our show. So inside, they had the air conditioning kicked up. And if you're around the vents, it gets a little chilly. Which is why I was wearing a hockey jersey in August in Shreveport. But I lent it to LeVar, and a whole bunch of people loved it. They wanted pictures of LeVar in a Shreveport hockey jersey. He wore it all weekend, signed it for me at the end of the weekend. But those are two things that I will always remember of LeVar. Serving you barbecue, wearing a hockey jersey.
Well, at least he gave you the hockey jersey back, unlike Sam J. Jones, who stole your sweater.
I will get that sweater back one day.
I doubt it.
I will find a way.
I doubt he even remembers which sweater is which.
I don't care.
He
I will find
He just strikes me
it.
As a man that loves sweaters.
He did, actually. He very much did. Number two on our list, or your list, really, because the fans voted on it. Number two is Michael Rooker, got 13.5% of the vote, was also at GeekCon 2019. So yep. Two and three on the list. Both in the same year.
Also in line to get barbecue from LeVar. That was my only interaction with Michael Rooker, was him standing in front of me waiting to get served some ribs and whatever else.
So look, Michael Rooker is one of those guys that is just, he's got two gears, sleep and Rooker speed. And if you were a part of the panel conversation that Michael Rooker had, if you ever go to any event, whether it's ours or any other show, and Michael Rooker is there, be at the panel, because it was insane to watch the man jump off the stage, grab two microphones, and walk around and allow the audience to ask him questions, and then he was responding with his own microphone. He was conducting his own panel.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And then on top of that, he tackled somebody wearing a dinosaur inflatable dinosaur outfit.
I did see
free
that.
Hugs.
Yep.
He went and got his hug, and he took that hug to the ground. And my favorite of the Michael Rooker stories was when he got in the moon pie throwing fight with Lori Petty.
Yeah, I was involved in that because I was not sitting next to
you. Were in the middle.
Yeah, I was like in the booth next to where Lori Petty was. So anytime Rooker came in low, I had to duck.
And well, actually, you should have just got on the other side of Kevin Nash, because Tall Tower there would have been able to take that shot for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, Michael Rooker, not disputing his placement on this list in any way. And number one on our top 10 GeekCon guests of the decade, as voted on by the fans of GeekCon, the late, great, legendary Peter Mayhew got 14% of the vote. He was the original headliner in GeekCon 2015, a guest that I did get to spend a lot of time with, talked to quite a bit, didn't tell him thank you enough. And honestly, I would say that he and Cassandra Peterson are 90% of the reason why we still have this event.
Yeah,
I think if we would have started with any two other headliners, I don't know if we get to year six. But with those two, here we are.
Life finds a way. But
all right, Goldblum.
I will say that I loved everything about Peter Mayhew other than him ruining Star Wars for me. Lots of spoilers coming out of that fella.
He did, in fact, spoil The Force Awakens for me.
Outside of that, though, he was great.
Did he do that at the same time to both of us? I can't remember if you
separately.
Were standing there or not.
Oh, no. It was separate because I was out back getting some things, and he happened to be out there getting some fresh air.
No, he wasn't. He was smoking. He was perched up by the steps out back smoking a lot, which is where he and I talked quite a bit.
Well.
But that's also where he spoiled it for me. Where he, which part did he spoil for you?
The Han Solo death.
Did that for me, too. That was literally, and I actually laughed it off. When he told me, it wasn't until I was watching the movie that I went, you've got to be kidding me. Everyone else is having this emotional moment about Han Solo and what he means to them and their whole life and watching him. And I'm just going, Peter Mayhew, I can't believe you did this to me.
Damn you, Peter. But yeah, he spoiled that. And there was something else he spoiled that was like a big moment in the movie. He like spoiled the two biggest moments.
He might have said something else, but really the only thing that stuck out to me, and I said it, like we talked about it immediately afterwards. Like this wasn't one of those things where like down the road the legend grows. It was like immediately afterwards I went inside and went, hey, Peter Mayhew just told me something weird about the new Star Wars movie, and I don't know if I should believe it or not. But he was great, and I'm so thankful that a lot of people in Shreveport got an opportunity to meet him before, unfortunately, we lost Peter Mayhew last year. But he was a great guy. I know he was a little cranky sometimes, and he had a reputation for being a cranky man. I saw none of that.
Yeah, well, people said the same thing about Lou Ferrigno. It's just old people stuff. Not knocking old people, but sometimes they just like things the way they like them.
Well, I think sometimes people expect a lot more from somebody, and if what they are asking for comes up short in any way, they have to say something about that person, so... but that is our list, our top geek guests of the decade as voted on by the fans of GeekCon. Again, you can find that online at geekcon.com. I think we only have one more thing on my agenda to talk about.
Geekcon.com.
I don't know why you felt the need to do that.
It's the new InfoWars gimmick.
Oh,
anytime
okay,
you mention GeekCon, I got to geekcon.com.
Or when do you start pounding on the desk and getting all red in the face?
When I start drinking.
Okay. Sounds very Alex Jonesy of you again. So the last thing I have written down here, usually we reach into the little Chewbacca head and pull out a subject to talk about real quick, a ranking list. But you had suggested that we talk about our favorite geek Christmas gifts from this year, since this is the first time we're talking since Christmas.
Yep.
So you brought that up. That means you have something you really want to talk about. So what is it?
Well, I didn't really get a gift as much as I just bought myself a ton of gifts.
Oh, boy.
I've gone on quite the comic book tear over the past 3 weeks.
I'm very aware of this. I thought you actually had something somebody got you that was cool.
Oh, no. I bought myself some great gifts, though.
All right. Run through them.
Well, let's see here. I picked up Hellboy Seeds of Destruction, the first solo Hellboy, 1-4. Got that. Got the Hellboy, the Corpse, signed by Mike Mignola, which is pretty awesome. Got Batman 181, first appearance of Poison Ivy.
That's graded.
Yeah, CGC. 3.
With pinup.
Yep. Completely intact. It's beautiful. Let's see. What else have I bought recently? Oh, Detective Comics for 412, first appearance of Talia al Ghul. God, I feel like there's...
I feel like there's something
oh,
else.
Well, then I just went on a massive Swamp Thing tear, but that's not...
You bought another graded book.
Graded? No. I almost pulled the trigger on another graded book, but I ended up not.
All right, maybe that's what I was thinking of.
That's like the 30 books I bought. Just a ton of Swamp Thing, ton of Hellboy, ton of Batman. Just,
so you bought your own geeky Christmas gifts?
Yeah.
All right, this is... as anticlimactic as I had thought it would be. My favorite geek gift this year is the 4.5 foot tall Leonardo Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle statue that is sitting in my office now.
Yeah, it freaked me out. All right, so Greg keeps his lights off in his office, but there's a big window behind his desk.
I am the night.
So I was just walking, and Greg's office is right by the bathroom. So I was just walking by there to go to the bathroom, and it was, of course, dark in there. But you could see the silhouette of this giant Ninja Turtle.
We can actually we can see my office from right here.
Yeah, yeah. It's right behind where we're broadcasting from, yep. Recording
so
this.
So I can actually turn around and pull the mic down here, and I'm looking directly at Leonardo right now.
Yeah.
Who, since he was put up here, since he scared you the first time, we've added a GeekCon t-shirt to him. He wore a Santa hat for a little while. And now he has Mardi Gras beads on. So
Leo knows how to party. I always thought it was Raphael.
I thought it was Michelangelo.
Yeah.
Cowabunga it is. So, yeah, Leonardo standing in my office. That's my favorite geeky gift from this Christmas. I'm trying to think. Did I get any other?
Well, I got you a nice geeky Christmas
gift.
That
is a very geeky Christmas gift. I don't know if I want to talk about it on the air, though.
Why
for fear of, oh, you know why.
Yeah, but they're not going to know why. Now they know there's something to it.
Well, then now we're definitely not mentioning it.
I got him a signed poster. But now, because Greg ruined it, because it happens to
I didn't
to be,
ruin it.
You didn't have to say it was GeekCon related.
I wasn't
going to
bring it up because of, all right, well, whatever.
If we would have just said it, nobody would have known the difference. They would have just thought, hey, Puff got Greg a badass Christmas gift. But no, now they know there's something connected to GeekCon. You're letting the cat out of the bag. When we making our next guest announcement?
We were supposed to set that yesterday, but we got sidetracked on things. Again, this going all the way full circle back to the idea that every single day we're working on a Comic-Con, and we've got a lot of work to do.
I said we just tell him now.
No.
No, not that guy. The other guy. The little guy. Not little as in name, but in stature.
I'm not exactly 100% sure exactly who you're thinking right now, so I'm going to still say no. And we have to figure out the date stuff first. So basically what we can say is that look for dates very soon. We're going to be very above board with the guests this time. We're going to tell you when these guests will be announced. So it's no like mystery. It's no random pop up. Hey, here's a guest. We're going to tell you when guest announcements will be made this year. We're going to try to be very above board. I know it doesn't work the same for a lot of shows, but we're trying. We need to be out ahead of things for our world. So we will be we'll be releasing that information very soon.
Greg just likes putting dates on things. I say we just do it. But
well, too bad. We've got work to do. So we're going to go work on this Comic-Con. We'll be back on regularly scheduled podcast uploads moving forward now, right?
We've only missed one, Greg. It's not like we missed a
month. I feel like we missed a month.
No.
So I need to say, we'll be back to regular schedule moving forward. You know the schedule better than I do.
And I'm going to browbeat him into giving you a guest announcement next week.
We'll either have a guest announcement or we will have locked in dates of when you can expect those guest announcements. That's on the way.
I'm going to browbeat him into submission. You can count on it.